Facebook's role in spreading misinformation has come under intense scrutiny in the last 2 years. Facebook has partnered with documentary filmmaker Morgan Neville to create Facing Facts, a short film that gives an inside look at how they are dealing with this complex issue. Go see it at InsideFeed.com.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, welcome. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, the app that turns your everyday life into a treasure hunt. It's called geocaching. Think the Goonies, but if they had an app, kind of. We'll explain first these tech headlines. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg dodges tough questions by EU lawmakers. The Wall Street Journal covers it in depth this week. Speaking at a hearing at the European Parliament, he echoed his recent U.S. testimony and apologized over fake news, foreign interference in elections, and user data misuse. He also addressed the issue of regulation.
I think the question is, what is the right regulation? Our goal over the coming years is going to get to developing the AI systems and hiring the staff necessary to be able to proactively review more of the content as it's coming into the system.
For more, you can check out a reel of the highlights at WSJ.com. Samsung has a promise for you. It vows to put AI features and internet connectivity onto all of its products by 2020. The goal is to transform its standalone home appliances into an army of synced devices that take verbal commands. The bet, if successful, would increase consumer demand for Samsung's lineup of phones, appliances, and TVs, which would be good timing since the number of homes worldwide using at least one smart home device is expected to reach 280 million by the end of 2022. And don't hold your breath for the fifth-generation PlayStation, because Sony says it wants to spend as many as 3 more years readying its next video game move. That would mark a slight slowdown in the 6 to 7 year update cycle for the console since the very first one in 1994. The PlayStation 4 went on sale in 2013 and has sold more than 79 million units. Coming up, if you need some tech-infused excitement in your life by way of an app that sends you on a treasure hunt, I do, then geocaching is for you. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
Facebook's role in spreading misinformation has come under intense scrutiny in the last 2 years. Facebook has partnered with documentary filmmaker Morgan Neville to create Facing Facts, a short film that gives an inside look at how they are dealing with this complex issue. Go see it at InsideFeed.com.
The concept and practice of geocaching is putting a digital gloss on those of us from a certain era who maybe get nostalgic for the Goonies and other films of childhood past. In studio with more is Gear and Gadgets editor for the Wall Street Journal's Off Duty, Matthew Kitchen. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
So this was a really fun piece to read. It got me kind of excited to maybe even try this out. But take us back for a second, because geocaching has been around for a long time. We're actually talking almost a couple of decades, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it started in 2000, right after GPS kind of opened up to the general public.
Okay, so that makes sense. And fast forward to modern times, it's all funneled through an app like everything else, right? So easily doable. You go to the App Store or geocaching.com. You download the app, and it basically gives you something to look for with clues. Can you walk us through it?
Yeah, it gives you kind of almost an overhead Google Maps view of like you would anything else. But instead of, you know, looking at streets or looking at subways or anything else, it kind of shows you these little dots that you can track down these, you know, small treasures.
And this is where I got a little, I'd love to get a better understanding of what exactly you find. So you actually went out and did this with someone who really does this for real, right?
Yeah, I went out with Jeremy Jacobowitz, who's a retired NYPD detective who's found, I believe it was more than 8,000 of these worldwide.
Okay, so that's pretty for real.
Yeah. And he's dropped, you know, more than 250 of his own as well. And oftentimes they're just an ammo box with a logbook with a couple toys and trinkets that you might kind of exchange. It's kind of a give a penny, take a penny type of system, only with, you know, trinkets that can fit in your pocket. It's not really about finding, you know, treasures. It's more about kind of going on this adventure and this journey with friends or even, really even alone and doing that. But, you know, that being said, there are some caches, as they're called, that can have fun things of significant value. I think the first cache included, you know, old VHS tapes that the guy found. And some of the really hard ones, I know there's one here in New York, I believe it's called the Bridge and Tunnel, that has upwards of 30-some steps to it. And at the end of that, you get kind of a special token that you wouldn't otherwise find. I mean, I've been doing this for a little while now, and there are smaller, simpler versions of this, you know, things that you can find as you're walking to work.
Oh, so there are like levels to this, perhaps.
Right, yeah. There's, I would say, you know, there's, you know, 5 levels for both terrain and difficulty.
Okay.
And so the easy ones, yeah, you can find on the way to work. But the harder ones are really, you know, you have to pay a little more. You have to get the annual app, which I think is $30 a year. But the things you find and the experiences you have are kind of much more significant and much more fun. You know, I found myself climbing under a bridge in Staten Island. I found myself in at least 2 storm drains.
Wow.
We had the cops called on us at least once.
Oh, really?
And, you know, there are a couple, you know, it's those experiences that are fun. And, you know, I live down by Prospect Park here in New York, and there's dozens of them in the park. And so, you know, just as you're walking, you can open the app and kind of veer off the path kind of into places that you haven't seen and places you haven't gone, and really kind of explore places around you that you have kind of otherwise walked right past.
Yeah, that's a cool byproduct of it. And beyond that, did you also find that it was good to go outside without, you know, scrolling and liking something or taking a selfie and all the pointless stuff that must be refreshing to put the phone down, even though you're using it technically?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny hybrid in that way, because half the time you're kind of staring down at your phone, making sure you're on the right path, you're facing the right way. You know, the app is a specific as telling you, you know, how many feet or how many steps you are away from the item that you've kind of currently selected. And when you're done, you can do everything from taking pictures to logging notes to thanking whoever originally left it. But yeah, at the same time, I mean, once you've decided on something and have a general idea of the direction you want to walk, you can put your phone in your pocket and kind of really enjoy, be at the park, be it, you know, again, a storm drain, be it really anywhere you kind of want to go. And because there are literally more than 3 million in the world, that can take you anywhere.
Wow. Pretty cool. So I encourage listeners to check out Matthew's piece at WSJ.com. Head to Off Duty. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
This has been the Tech News Briefing, reporting from the newsroom in New York. I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.